This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. The House Rules Committee is still meeting to discuss whether to move forward with the GOP tax plan. They convened more than 7 hours ago in the middle of the night. A fifth man is back in custody after 10 prisoners at a New Orleans jail slipped through a hole behind a toilet and escaped Friday. ABC's Jim Ryan has more on the latest person to be recaptured.
Corey Boyd was being held in the killing of a man during a car break-in last year. The five other escapees still on the run are likewise considered dangerous.
They're witnesses and victims, and all of those people are very rightfully very unnerved by all of this.
Louisiana Attorney General Liz Murrell.
Time is of the essence, and we are doing everything within our power.
A jail maintenance worker has been arrested on charges of aiding in the escape. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
The comedy world is remembering George Wendt, best known for playing Norm on the long-running sitcom Cheers. Wendt passed away at the age of 76. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz. As tornadoes popped up from Kansas to Kentucky, a depleted National Weather Service was in scramble mode. The weather office in Jackson, Kentucky, where deadly storms hit, has been closing nightly due to lack of staffing in the wake of government cuts. But the agency had staffers working on overtime Friday night to stay on top of deadly storms. The U.S. is on track to have its second busiest tornado year ever, and some former Weather Service veterans worry that overworked meteorologists and violent weather are a dangerous combination. A Wisconsin appeals court judge who was an outspoken supporter of abortion rights in the state legislature is running for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Chris Taylor becomes the first liberal candidate to enter the 2026 race. The election next year won't be for control of the court in the battleground state because liberals will hold the majority until at least 2028. The past two Wisconsin Supreme Court elections were won by liberal candidates and broke spending records. Incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley, one of the court's conservative minority, said last month that she'll seek re-election to another 10-year term. It's fake. That's the message U.S. Senator Ron Johnson delivered to delegates at the weekend state Republican Party convention in Rothschild regarding the House deficit reduction bill. Johnson said the big, beautiful bill isn't what it's advertised to be and will actually be increasing the federal budget deficit by a total of about $4 trillion over the next 10 years. Johnson told delegates he's digging his heels in, even as other Senate Republicans oppose the bill due to its cuts to Medicaid, arguing that will harm working families. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Home runs for the crew. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers beat the Orioles in Milwaukee last night 5-2. Home runs from Reese Hoskins, Bryce Terang, and Sal Frelick.
I feel like I'm swinging it good. I mean, the home run swing, kind of just like the whole inning, how that transpired, just the guys before me. Yeah, Reese busting out of the box on a pop-up that he gets to second on, Isaac getting him over, which then allows me to go up there and, you know, try to hit a fly ball or other at-bats. You know, that's never my credit to the other guys in the lineup.
The Brewers have now won 3 in a row and will go for the sweep. Baltimore has now lost 8 in a row, even after firing their manager over the weekend. In college football, Wisconsin waiting to learn if some recruits will commit to playing for the Badgers next year. Defensive coordinator Jim Tressel on what he sees so far from his defensive front.
One thing I'm seeing is a lot of confidence in the defensive front's ability to be tough and difference makers. How physical they're playing, because the offensive line doesn't know if they're going to get hit in the mouth or if they're going to get shook a little bit.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be cloudy with some off and on rain today. We could end up with another quarter inch or even a little more in spots by the time things wind down tonight. High today, low 50s. Tonight, we're going to drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Outside now, it's 46.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Richard Trent, the executive director of Main Street Alliance.
This current tax code that they're trying to extend, 80%+ of the benefit goes to the top 1% of earners.
Yes.
I did not misspeak there. This is not a game. Trump will tell you firsthand that he grew up believing there are winners and there are losers. This is an administration actively trying to create a class of losers, and we have to fight back.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons, 4 until 6, on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Last week, I asked if if me swallowing like 100 mayflies on a walk breaks a fast, because I was doing intermittent fasting. 0.008 calories per fly.
You are breaking a fast, though.
Because probably.
It's not zero.
It's not zero calories.
So you did.
Well, that really sucks. I mean, don't get me wrong. They tasted good.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody. Joining us next time, we'll be on location at Kopke's Greenhouse in the town of Dunn in Dane County, talking plants and Badger Honor Flight. Don't miss it.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays 2 to 4. This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, good morning. It's 8:06. It's nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday morning, May 21st, 2025. Sam is on the board with friends. I'll explain in just a moment, but first let me tell you that Devin Remiker is standing by. He is a candidate for chair of the State Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He will be joining the show today. Another candidate for DPW chair, Joe Zepecki, will be here tomorrow. William Garcia will be here on Friday. So over the next 3 days in our 8 o'clock hour, you'll get a second round of hearing from all three candidates who want to run the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Once Ben Wickler steps down, Ben Wickler has made an endorsement in that race. It's something I'm sure Devin will want to talk about in just a couple of moments. But first, let's bring in meteorologist Brittany Merlot and what could only be described as a mob down at the control room in Madison, the Dom, Sam, Parker, Luke experience. Four gentlemen.
What a menagerie.
I know. I mean, the guys look like an album cover. Their debut album should be out soon. Sam, what's the sweatshirt say there, buddy?
Make boys cry.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm with that.
Is that a reference I'm not getting?
I don't think it's a reference to anything. I just thought it was a funny sweatshirt.
Okay. All right. Brittany is loving this. It's okay.
Yeah, I am.
No, that's great. So for folks who missed it a couple hours ago when the show first started, we are welcoming Mr. Parker here to the show. We first met with Dom yesterday. Sam is getting set to move into, you know, much more credible employment circumstances. And
oh, I don't know about that.
Luke is keeping his distance from anything involving me in live radio because he's no dummy. So that's how he got to be in the position where he is. But he's having a great time with these great gentlemen, Dom and Sam and Parker, all working on making sure that all of these shows run a lot tighter than the host would otherwise let them. So welcome, guys, to all of you. And Brittany, let's welcome you back in reluctantly. Because again, it's not you. It's not you. It's this, whatever this is, which I hear is eventually going to move out of here. I mean, obviously it would anyway. It's all in the word eventually, but when Brittany, when is the sun and the warmth come back?
It is taking its sweet time, but we're okay. We've got this. We're going to get through this. I mean, we got 2 inches of rain that already accumulated into Janesville, Fond du Lac, and South areas. La Crosse to Eau Claire picking up a good inch to an inch and a half. A lot of us getting doused with that rain, but it is starting to wind down. Far northwest, you're starting to see that start to sweep south through the state as the system departs off to the east. But again, it's going to take its time. We're still looking at light rain expected throughout most of the day for most of us. Up north, that, of course, is going to be gone by the afternoon. Down south, you could still see a few spotty sprinkles still lingering through early tomorrow morning. Otherwise, the sunshine and the warmth are right behind it. Now, I'm not talking about the warmth in the 80s. Sorry, that's not coming our way for this weekend. But we are looking a little bit more seasonal into those mid-60s to upper 60s as we go through Memorial Day weekend. So we will hit 60 degrees for most of the state tomorrow. But today, we still have to deal with upper 40s far south and upper 50s far north. And those dreary skies still continuing. Areas of fog. And then tonight, another frost advisory is expected, especially far north. We're still under one right now. And we've still got a beach hazard statement on Lake Michigan where those waves are rocking and rolling. They were up to 9 feet yesterday. They're about 6 feet today. So wow. Some crummy weather all around. But things are getting better just in time for the long weekend.
Yeah. Shiji writes on YouTube, this is lovely tea and writing weather. And I think we talked about it being International Tea Day. So, yes, it's definitely, if you're going to have a warm beverage, a day for it like that. Rob from Tigerton says, I like Brittany's sweatshirt. We mentioned Sam's sweatshirt. You've got one of the Great Lakes.
Yes, I do. Thank you. Which, I try to, bright yellow, brighten the day or something, too.
There you go. And Rob also mentioned things seem to be getting serious out there. Colorado weather states, because of cuts to the National Weather Service, with this being severe weather and hurricane system, season, rather, that the work is still getting done, but only because the people who haven't been fired yet are taking on extra shifts and, working overnights and things, that not a sustainable system for, putting warnings out.
No, it's not. A lot of the National Weather Service is getting tired. I mean, they're covering for different regions, not just different local offices like they used to. They're different regions. And I know that the Hurricane Center is actually asking for employees internally to help them out because the hiring freeze. So they don't know what to do. They're just scrambling, trying to pull from everywhere. And eventually, I think we're going to hit burnout and we're going to hit the results for us getting a little scary too.
Yeah. And we don't, we don't want to see that happen anywhere, much less, right here in our backyard, but it is a potential. Last thing before you go, the picture on your screen there, the Dom, Sam, Parker, Luke experience. Did you expect to see a frame like right before or after it that says a please don't destroy video, from the guys on Saturday Night Live? Doesn't it look like they're about to do one of those?
Yes, it does. Oh my gosh.
I think this is just the greatest thing. I think we've opened up a new chapter here. Thank you, Brittany.
Thank you.
All right. We will talk to you tomorrow. Hey, this is National Bike Month. Today is not a great day for a bicycle commute, but there are still plenty of days in Wisconsin where it would be nice to ride if, we had proper trails and supportive employers and bike-friendly businesses. Well, there is a national group that rates all of these things, and we have a link in today's Up North News daily newsletter all about Wisconsin's most bike-friendly hometowns and organizations. Now, if instead you're one of those people that sits behind the wheel all the time, especially in our larger communities, have you ever wondered how much does it cost you, quite literally, to sit in traffic? You can read about that expense in today's edition. And also linked in our newsletter and new in our website, a guide to all the best races in Wisconsin this summer. Everything from a walk to a fun run to a 5K, 10K, half and full marathons. All that you'll find at upnorthnewswi.com. 8:13 now, and let's visit with Devin Remiker, who is a candidate for state party chair for the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, one of three candidates. We'll talk to the other candidates tomorrow and again on Friday. Devin, welcome back to the program. Nice to have you here today.
Great to be here again. Thanks for having me, Pat.
We are getting into that point. You're heading to Memorial Day weekend and then the last weekend of the month. And I know from working in a county party myself that it's in that middle part of the month where if you want to go talk to county Democratic parties in this case, I mean, you got to be on the road ceaselessly. And you certainly were, along with other candidates, hitting not just county parties, but congressional district level party meetings. And so since you first got into the race, we talked to you shortly after you announced. Tell us more about the campaign. You picked up some very key endorsements and met a whole lot of people along the way.
Absolutely. Well, picked up a lot of mileage, that's for sure. I have traveled the state from Hayward to Kenosha and to Chippewa Falls, all over. And I think my campaign now has hit 100 public endorsers, some folks who are also supporting me, but not ready to slap their name on the website yet. But I'm really proud to have, Chair Ben Wickler, former Chair Martha Lanning, former Chair Martha Love, former Chair Jeffrey Neubauer, and over 20 county party chairs from every corner of the state, along with a host of other party delegates, leaders, joining my team. And I think folks are really just ready and itching to get back in the fight as quickly as possible this year, and are excited to support me as the candidate who can do that.
I don't know if the endorsement from Ben Wickler, how much of it comes as a surprise to folks, if they thought that the outgoing chair was not going to endorse throughout this race, or if it's something that makes sense, since, as he said, he's been working side by side with you for a big chunk of his time as chair here. Would you say that Ben's endorsement was, were you expecting him not to endorse throughout the entirety of this race for chair?
You know, I got into this race not knowing if he would or would not endorse me, but I'm very glad he did. Obviously, Ben is someone that I have worked closely with for the past 6 years. About half of his tenure, I was his executive director, so working as his right hand. And honestly, I think that a lot of folks are just hoping that a lot of the great things that we have built together over those 6 years can continue, and that we have the resources we need to compete, that we can keep running the best-in-class program and be the strongest state party in the country. And I'm absolutely honored to have his endorsement, and really excited about the reception I've already got from having that out there in the world.
How do you feel like that is going to translate? Because obviously Ben was well regarded in the state, and one could certainly say very well regarded outside of the state, bringing so much attention to the Democratic Party of Wisconsin that wasn't there previously. Do you feel, though, that puts a little extra pressure on you to be following in Ben and keeping that national spotlight on Wisconsin?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think all of us candidates felt like, there was some pretty, pretty big shoes to fill at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. And, I think my unique strength is I just happen to know how big those shoes are, better than anybody else, having worked with them so closely. But certainly it does add a little bit of pressure, having his direct support to make sure I could rise to the occasion. But I feel really confident, given my experiences, whether it was heading up the People v. Musk, the effort that not only helped Susan Crawford win the Supreme Court race, but also, sort of sent Elon Musk packing from the White House. And as we heard yesterday, maybe from politics in general, I think I have a pretty good track record of being able to excite people in the state and engage audiences nationally as well.
We're talking to Devin Remiker, a candidate for chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. That decision will be made by delegates to the state Democratic Party convention in Wisconsin Dells next month. I've asked before, and I will ask all three candidates again, to help break past any initial, say, geographic assumptions about candidates that, you'll be seen as the insider candidate / the Madison candidate. Joe Zepecki might be seen as the Milwaukee candidate or the outside of the current party candidate. William Garcia would be seen more as like the outstate or the rural candidate. But in all cases, since we can't combine the best of all of you into a blender and get one, super chair, we have to ask all of you, how do you break out of those perceived boxes? What is it that people should know about you beyond, what makes up that initial feeling? Like, well, you've been inside DPW, so if we vote for you, there won't be much to change.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, I think I sort of came to DPW from a bit of a different background. I was born and raised in Two Rivers, Wisconsin, out in the country, as we called it, out on County Highway 42, which a lot of people know as they're driving up to Door County through Two Rivers. And I was on an acre of land surrounded by farm fields that my great grandparents bought from a farmer. We weren't farmers ourselves. Definitely was a very rural upbringing. And then I went to school at UW-La Crosse. I sort of was kind of like the outstate political operative for the first half of my career in politics, working for State Representative Steve Doyle and then Congressman Ron Kind after that, over the sprawling 3rd Congressional District. So although I've certainly been at the party for a while, I think I do bring a somewhat unique perspective given my political experience on the ground, and have been really glad that I had that because it helped me figure out that we need to make sure county parties get more support all around this state. That's something we did through the Kind campaign, helping to support year-round offices like the Portage County Democrats. And it makes a huge difference for county parties to be able to have that home base and that presence in their community.
Devin Remiker is a candidate for state party chair. Again, that will be decided on at the state Democratic Party convention in Wisconsin Dells coming up a little later on this month. Still ahead, we are going to be talking to Melissa Baldoff about our weekly climate check update. First, a reminder, you can sign up for our newsletters, plural. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com to do that. And a reminder, there's some daytime baseball today. Brewers versus the Orioles. Pregame starts at 11:35 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Attention Badger fans, memories are made at Camp Randall, so bring your group and be part of the action this fall. Whether you're planning your team outing or just looking to get together with your crew, Badger football group experiences are your ticket to unforgettable moments and new traditions. Take advantage of discounts and exclusive game day experiences when you lock in your group tickets today. Visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. We are in a rare moment right now in Wisconsin politics. Why, you ask? Well, it's because we are not actively in the middle of a campaign cycle. It's been more than 6 weeks now since any of us have seen a campaign ad. It's been pretty nice, hasn't it? The moment we're in is as close as we're going to get to a political off-season here in Wisconsin. And we need to take advantage of this moment by taking action to improve our democracy. That means taking steps to address money in politics, cleaning up some issues with election administration, and creating a long-term plan for nonpartisan redistricting. In some cases, we can't make these kinds of changes in the middle of a campaign, so we need to be thinking about what we can do now. There's a lot both parties can agree on here, too. So let's make some moves this offseason, Wisconsin. Seize this moment to make a better, stronger, more inclusive democracy.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us. Matt Nair on air.
The Joint Finance Committee just had four meetings around the state of Wisconsin. The top three things of concern to people were education, health care, and child care. The Republicans stripped all of those things out of Governor Evers' budget. So I'm thinking about going next time just to make sure that they all put their phones down when I'm talking to them, because I have a feeling they're all playing Candy Crush because they're not paying attention to what people are saying.
Catch Matt Nair on air at its new time, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Joanne Krulotz, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Two University of Wisconsin-Platteville students have died after an incident that occurred at a resident hall on the University of Wisconsin-Platteville campus Monday afternoon. UW-Platteville officials issued a statement Monday night reporting that two students, Kelsey Martin, 22 of Bloyd, and Hallie Helms, 22 of Baraboo, died. Officials said in the statement, "This incident was a targeted and isolated event between the two individuals. Families of the students have been notified." Authorities said that one person was transported to the hospital from the residence hall, but they didn't give any further information. Authorities are investigating the incident, but many details about what happened are still unclear. Speaking during a news conference Monday evening, UW-Platteville University Police Chief Joseph Holman said that authorities were alerted to the situation after a 911 call around 4 o'clock Monday afternoon. Officers responded to the situation at Wilgus Hall. It was determined that it was not an active ongoing threat. Emergency personnel responded immediately. "We activated our safety protocol and alerted campus to shelter in place," he said. Earlier in the afternoon, university officials issued 3 shelter-in-place alerts. A UW-Platteville employee reported that 3 alerts were sent by the university around 4:30. The first reported an emergency on campus and asked people to avoid campus or shelter in place. A second alert came moments later advising individuals to avoid Wilgus Hall. The third alert continued to urge people to shelter in place and avoid the school. Hallman said the shelter in place alert was cleared just after 5. Officials say the campus remains open, but final exams have been canceled. Dr. Laura Reynolds, Provost and Vice Chancellor of Academic Affairs, said during a Monday evening press conference that they will cancel all final exams for UW-Platteville and UW-Baraboo campus. Quote, because we are a close-knit community, we feel this is the best interest of our faculty, staff, and students. The Wisconsin DNR confirmed that there was an ATV accident in Richland County over the weekend, resulting in a fatality. The accident is still under investigation. More details will be released once they become available. The Black Hawk Bridge connecting Wisconsin to Iowa near Lansing is unexpectedly closed once again. The Iowa DOT said that movement was detected with one of the bridge's piers, prompting the closure. The bridge will be closed at least for this week and until further notice, according to DOT officials. Last year, the bridge was closed for nearly 2 months for emergency repairs. A new bridge is under construction and expected to open in 2027. The closest river crossings are in La Crosse or Prairie du Chien. Advocates for people with disabilities have concerned about changes to Medicaid. House Republicans late Sunday voted to advance the One Big Beautiful Bill Act, which would extend President Trump's tax cuts while reforming Medicaid. Beth Swedeen, with the Wisconsin Board for People with Developmental Disabilities, says many optional Medicaid programs could be eliminated. Swedeen said such programs are the ones that are the most cost-effective because they keep people out of costly facilities and keep them healthy and safe at home. That's not the way Republicans are pitching the bill. Swedeen notes that it's been sold as something to get able-bodied people who should be working into work, but less than 8% of the Medicaid population is people who aren't working and also don't have a disability or aren't a kid. Republicans on the House Budget Committee advanced the Big Beautiful Bill in an unusual late-night vote Sunday, despite opposition from conservatives who contend the cost-cutting measure in the bill did not go far enough. Average gasoline prices in Wisconsin have risen 7.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $2.98 a gallon Monday, according to Gas Buddy's survey of over 3,000 stations in Wisconsin. Prices in Wisconsin are 2.5 cents per gallon higher than a month ago and stand 38.9 cents per gallon lower than a year ago. According to Gas Buddy price reports, the cheapest station in Wisconsin was priced at $2.39 a gallon Sunday, while the most expensive was $3.39 a gallon, a difference of $1 per gallon. The national average price of gasoline has risen 6.1 cents per gallon in the last week, averaging $3.14 a gallon Monday. The national average is up 1.9 cents per gallon from a month ago and stands 41 cents per gallon lower than a year ago, according to Gas Buddy data, compiled from more than 11 million weekly price reports covering over 150,000 gas stations across the country. The national average price of diesel has increased 2.9 cents in the last week and stands at $3.50 per gallon. Patrick DeHaan, head of petroleum analysis at Gas Buddy, said gasoline prices jumped in over three-quarters of U.S. states over the last week as oil prices surged following former President Trump's decision to reduce tariffs and strike new trade deals, moves that inspired optimism that a major tariff-induced economic slowdown might be avoided. He added, in addition to gains in price cycling markets, rising oil prices fueled by economic optimism and tightening gasoline inventories contributed to broader upward pressure on prices. While Americans are still seeing significant savings compared to a year ago, that gap has narrowed as oil prices have rebounded. As we approach Memorial Day, Gas Buddy is preparing to release its summer travel survey results and issue a gas price forecast for the season. For now, motorists can expect one of the most affordable summers for hitting the road since the pandemic, with gas prices tracking at some of the lowest inflation-adjusted levels in years. The engines were loud, but the hearts behind them were even louder. This past Saturday, over 150 bikers rolled out for the annual Big Bikes for Little Tykes ride, all to help make a dream come true for a young man, 15-year-old Dallas Gardner from Hillsboro. Dallas lives with brittle bone disease and other serious health challenges. He's 100% wheelchair dependent, but ask him about football and his face lights up. He's a huge Dallas Cowboys fan, and his dream? To watch them take on the Green Bay Packers live in Texas. Thanks to the Big Bikes for Little Tykes ride, that dream is becoming reality. All rider registration fees and raffle proceeds are going straight to help Dallas and his family make the trip. A powerful ride, a powerful cause, Big Bikes for Little Tykes, proving once again that the road to kindness is wide open. You've been listening to WRCE's local news on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google Play stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Joanne Krulot.
News from the Center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulots. The Wisconsin State Senate has approved legislation that would establish specialized courts to handle business-related lawsuits. The bill was approved along party lines, with Republicans voting in favor and Democrats voting against. State Senator Kelda Royce argued the proposal would allow wealthy residents to get their own hand-picked judges and speed up the legal process. Republican lawmakers say a pilot program that was terminated by the state Supreme Court last year pointed to the success of the business courts they're hoping to establish. Senator Tammy Baldwin is leading a group of Democratic senators urging the president to close the so-called carried interest loophole. According to a letter obtained by USA Today, Baldwin and her colleagues point out that Trump has previously called the loophole unfair to American workers. They're asking him to follow through on his campaign promise to eliminate it. The senators argue that the loophole allows investment managers to pay lower tax rates than many middle-class Americans, costing the government billions in lost revenue. Milk from farms across the state will now have to be tested for the H5N1 virus or bird flu. The tests are a new requirement by the U.S. Department of Agriculture and could get underway later this week. Adam Brock is with the State Ag Department and says these tests are important to keep the milk supply safe.
Roughly, you're looking at about 1,250 samples a week once we get rolling. So there will be a ramp up so that we have time to just make sure that we're getting samples in. There's no issues with the process.
If the virus is found during testing, pasteurization will kill it and the milk can still be used commercially. Those results will also help with treatment for the cows infected. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulots.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a movie to watch, here's a Pete pick. As I might have mentioned, Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning opens this weekend, so I thought I would give Dead Reckoning a rewatch, sort of a cinema stretch out before the big release. It's as good as I remembered it from 2 years ago. Cruise does battle with an AI-formed weapon called the Entity that can take on different forms. Isai Morales, Rebecca Ferguson, Haley Atwell, Simon Pegg, and Ving Rhames round out a great cast. Definitely worth a look before you head to the theater for The Final Reckoning. Singer Jessica Simpson ended her 15-year TV hiatus by performing, if not necessarily singing, on American Idol. The reviews were mostly negative, especially on social media, where everyone's a critic. Simpson belted out Nancy Sinatra's These Boots Are Made for Walkin' with Josh King on the season 23 finale Sunday night, and sang her new song, Blame Me, and they did. Simpson's performance was uninspired and looked unrehearsed, but at least she tried way too hard. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be cloudy with some off and on rain today. We could end up with another quarter inch or even a little more in spots by the time things wind down tonight. High today, low 50s. Tonight, we're going to drop into the mid 40s. Tomorrow, becoming partly cloudy with a high in the low to mid 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
When a parent sees their child smile, they see hope. Aleem hoped that his son Rajib would have an easier life than he had. You see, Rajib, just like his father, was born with a cleft. But thanks to Smile Train, both father and son received free, life-changing surgeries, transforming their smiles into symbols of hope. To learn more and support the Global Cleft community, visit smiletrain.org/learn. Smile Train, changing the world one smile at a time.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I'm as guilty as anybody about this, not talking to real people in person. I'm sorry, I don't believe that texting or video conferencing or any other of that jazz can supplement one-on-one interaction. We as humans need other humans. We need to connect with people. So anyway, that's the public service announcement to start off the week. Get outside and talk to real live humans. You'll feel better.
Catch the Todd Allbaugh Show at its new time. Weekdays 2 to 4 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app. Maggie Dawn.
Did you know that the point of the Doge layoffs was literally to cause federal employees trauma? The truth comes out. We discuss next at 4 o'clock.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Time to do our weekly climate check with Melissa Baldoff. And this time around, we're going to talk about Donald Trump would love to call it his big, beautiful budget bill. But as one energy newsletter put it, Trump's big oily bill, the anti-clean energy provisions in Trump's budget bill, could raise household energy costs by as much as 7%. Melissa Baldoff, hello. How are you?
I'm doing okay. I'd be a whole lot better if this is not what we were dealing with, but, you know, such is life that we've got this, you know, so-called big, beautiful bill that's going to cause, as Forbes is reporting, $1 trillion in economic damage from the House reconciliation bill.
And the funny thing is, and not funny, of course, but that it's so not necessary the way that climate has been politicized rather than, you know, an existential human crisis, a crisis for the planet, but also as an opportunity to create all of these new jobs and all of these new industries. And I'm still looking for anything based in facts or science that would give rationale to what this Trump agenda looks like right now. And I still don't have an answer other than if this is what big oil companies want, then I guess that's what we're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's really the only answer here, that this is just, you know, a blatant and corrupt giveaway to, you know, billionaires and polluters. You know, it's great for them, right? Good news for them, bad news for everyone else. In this bill, because there's really no other explanation for it. These are people who ran on a promise to lower costs for the American people, and you know, on everything across the board, we are seeing much higher prices. And you know, when it comes to energy costs, this is just one example. You know, this plan to repeal clean energy tax credits is going to send energy prices through the roof. It's going to, you know, according to analysis, this bill would raise electricity prices for American families by more than $110 a year. This is going to put about 400,000 good paying jobs at risk. And most of those jobs are actually in Republican districts. You know, this is real people and real families, real households that are impacted by these decisions. And quite frankly, you know, these Republicans know it, and the rank and file folks, they know how unpopular this is. And, you know, I have to imagine that's part of why they're doing some of these things and making these votes in the middle of the night, because they don't want the light of day on some of these decisions that they're making.
No, which is why we talk about them as often as we do. And some of it is just flat out grifting. You know, the bill would also allow gas pipeline developers to pay a $10 million fee to bypass the normal permitting process. It would allow fossil fuel companies to pay the Department of Energy a $1 million fee to determine that a proposed methane gas export facility is, quote, in the public interest. Or as written up by the climate group Evergreen Action, this makes a farce of our permitting process and essentially legalizes corruption with a pay-to-play privilege for gas pipelines, and that Americans will be severely impacted by gas pipelines being built through their communities. Again, it seems like such a gimme question, Melissa, but there's a reason why we have a, quote, normal permitting process for these kinds of things.
Exactly. There's a reason why we have a process for things, and it is to ensure that there is fairness. There is, there are standards that are followed, that there are quality controls, that communities that are impacted have an opportunity to engage in the process. But as with most things, we know that that Trump and his administration, they value influence and money more than any of those things. So whether it's, allowing polluters to, just buy in to, a pipeline facility, or whether it's allowing people to just buy into our immigration system. They don't want to follow normal rules when it comes to their friends and someone they think might be able to enrich them.
Tony puts it up on YouTube so well. Finally, Republicans can be corrupt in public and not have to hide it anymore. I mean, that again, putting on your political strategist hat here is just the time I never thought we'd live in where, well, if you do your corruption right out there in the open, people will say, well, it must not be corrupt if he's doing it right out there in the open. But it is still what it is. It's still, legalized bribery.
Exactly. It really is stunning to watch every single day the things that are really being normalized by Trump and this administration. And it is all the more important that we continue to talk about it like we do here and like so many others are and talking about it, because we cannot ever let it become normal. We can't let it become the standard. We can't let people believe that just because they are doing it out in the open, that it is okay, that it is something that is what we want this country to be and to be representative of who we are as Americans, because it is counter to everything that this country was founded on and that we believe.
Let's bring things a little closer to home here, because we are about to put up an op-ed on our website, upnorthnewswi.com, by John Iams, co-founder and director of the Wisconsin Environmental Initiative. And it's all about, again, in this opinion column, saying the Wisconsin Public Service Commission should reject the proposal to build a new methane gas plant in Oak Creek near Milwaukee and also in the Kenosha County town of Paris. Melissa, this is something we've talked about previously, the debate over what you would call a transitional energy source, where you're not burning big piles of coal, but you're also not moving all the way into solar, wind, battery storage, and things like that, and that in proposing instead a methane gas plant. I think we talked not only about these earlier, but also up in the Duluth Superior area where, these are real community debates about whether this is a proper transition getting away from coal or if you wait and go the rest of the way.
Yeah, these are definitely really important debates that people are having. We know that the methane gas is still a pollutant, and it is something that is harmful to the community, and it is something that it is not going to be a clean source of energy. But on the other hand, we also know that that these are good paying jobs. So that's something that that are created by these facilities. So I think that's something that there is that debate in a lot of communities about, hey, you know, there's we need energy and we need production. We want it to be cleaner and we need these jobs. So I know that there is that conversation in a lot of communities, but you know, the thing I take issue with is the natural gas branding, because you know, it is still a pollutant. It is still an unhealthy fuel source that is dangerous to our communities. It might be a little cleaner, but it is not a source of clean energy.
Yeah, we're really getting into the I don't say the definition of but that really is where this falls. And like you said, complicating it, and I think that's a fair word, complicating, is that you have unions and other groups that are pushing for the construction of these gas plants because they do create the construction jobs. But again, it's a matter of what exactly are we constructing? What exactly are we building for these jobs? And so that's why we're going to continue following what the Public Service Commission is doing on this. And again, that particular op-ed will be showing up on our website very soon here. And along with that, Melissa, is a note in the column and something else that we've talked about, and that's data centers and these massive data centers like Microsoft and Google and Meta. And Microsoft has announced, you know, a data center in Mount Pleasant, but then they've already announced pausing the construction to reassess their energy needs. Again, in terms of any debate about the climate and what we build and what those new jobs are for, has to keep in mind something that I know we've talked about before, but for folks that might not be aware, when you talk about these data centers, there's a reason they're always being built near large supplies of fresh water. You need mm-hmm. that for the cooling of these things, and that's what leads to the debate about those, right?
Yes, absolutely. We know that they are a big drain on resources, and you know, I would also just say that, you know, there's something else that I think that people should keep in mind when it comes to, you know, the reports about, you know, oh, there's all this need for these data centers. You know, we keep hearing about the need for all these data centers, but then we keep also hearing about these projects being abandoned. And obviously, we know we need more capacity in our grid. You know, we know we need more. But at the same time, we need, I think, to have a more comprehensive and strategic planning process in states across the country to know exactly what the right mix of our energy streams is. And not be, you know, so reliant on the energy companies to tell us what that is, because they are going to be incentivized to tell, you know, to say, hey, whatever's the most profitable for us and our shareholders is the right mix. So I think we need a very comprehensive planning process at the state level to be able to understand, you know, what's the right mix, what are the needs, because we know that the data centers are a huge drain on our natural resources. And we also know that a number of these projects across the country continue to be, you know, scrapped. And, you know, that's just something to really keep in mind is as we approach any new large scale energy project, you know, who is this really benefiting? And, you know, what is the right mix for the people of Wisconsin? Because from my perspective, we need to really focus on Wisconsin made energy, so that more people and more communities are controlling their energy future and have that energy sovereignty.
Melissa Baldoff with our climate check. As always, Melissa, thanks for catching up. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds good.
All right. Coming up tomorrow on the program, of course, we will be talking to Joe Zepecki, a candidate for state Democratic Party chair. And then on Friday, we will talk to William Garcia from the La Crosse area, also running for a state party chair. And also tomorrow, Michelle Velasquez of Planned Parenthood Advocates of Wisconsin will be along. And one more reminder, you've got matinee baseball today starting at 11:35 on stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitler reminding you it's about every one of these words in our national promise, liberty and justice for all. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Summers in Worthington, Minnesota bring fun, and a good portion of that fun happens around our beautiful 800-acre Lake Okabena. Our community is built around it, and it has great walleye fishing and several lakeside parks. This June 13th and 14th, we'll have our Windsurfing Regatta and Music Festival. It's free. Come and see the windsurfers, eat from over a dozen food vendors, and attend free lakeside concerts on our professional city stage, this year featuring Viva Knievel and Cooper Allen. Check us out. We're Worthington, Minnesota, and we're certainly worth a look.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Since 2005, the state of Indiana allowed voting-eligible students to use their student IDs to vote. April 16th, Governor Mike Braun signed SB 10, which included banning the use of student photo IDs for voting without any evidence of misuse. That law is headed to court. The bill's sponsor said in a January statement, "There has been a growing concern about election security in recent years, and it is our role to ensure our voter identification process is secure and accurate." There are over 436,000 college students in Indiana and additional voting-eligible high school students. In Bloomington, home to Indiana University, two-thirds of student voters use their student ID to vote. The Conservative Heritage Foundation's own voter fraud website shows only 59 voter fraud convictions of any kind since 2003, none of which appear to be student voters, though ironically, one conviction was a former Indiana Secretary of State. The Indianapolis Capital Chronicle reports that Count Us In and Women for Change Indiana brought suit in U.S. District Court, calling the law a, quote, surgical attack on young voters, and charging the law violates both First Amendment and 14th Amendment rights by creating a burden without justification. We have links to the suit and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal. Find us on Blue Sky at Democracy Minute.
Mental health is healthcare. Self-care isn't selfish, and asking for help is a brave and powerful step. Mental health affects every one of us, regardless of age, race, or background. And yet stigma holds many people back from getting the support needed.
I grew up being called a worry wart, which I've now learned is anxiety.
Kira Sabin gets it. The Madison-based positive psychology coach says, many times you just have to let it go.
A lot of the times the energy that we spend trying to control our environments is wasted because we're trying to control things we can't. We can't control the way other people react to us. And trying to just drives us crazy.
This Mental Health Awareness Month, let's break the silence, build understanding, and create a world where mental wellness is a priority for everyone. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I am Phil Nee. It's time to look at local sports on WRCE during Pat Kreitler Mornings. The WIAA tournament will get underway for high school softball teams on Thursday. High school baseball teams across the state are seeding beginning tonight and pretty much through the weekend. Their tournament opens next week. The Ithaca Bulldogs are coached by Dan Clary.
I see us probably maybe as a three or four, maybe a two, not sure, but definitely probably in that three or four range. But the grouping is so... it's so tough because not just our conference, you got at least five really solid teams in our conference But in the Six Rivers, we have River Ridge, I think, who's 15-6. I think they're second in that conference right now, as well as Highland, who's fourth in that conference and playing well, and Potosi Cassville, too, out of that conference. And not out of the Scenic Bluffs. We have Hillsborough, who's second in that conference right now, and Wanewak Center. And then we have the lone SWAL team, Boscobel, that's in our group. And they are a very tested team who can play well on any given day, too. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm hoping we can get a couple home games out of that stretch, but we'll see how things shake out on Wednesday night.
Yesterday was a wash in high school sports. Many things canceled, including conference track meets. The Southwest Conference meet will be held on Thursday at Dodgeville. Also, the Ridge and Valley meet. They were trying to have it most of the day, but decided in the afternoon that it was just too cold and wet. Ridge and Valley action at North Crawford will be held on Thursday at the same times. Games that were canceled yesterday, several moved to this coming Thursday. Richland Center and River Valley among the Southwest Conference golf teams that will be at Galena coming up on Thursday. Richland Center soccer will play Dodgeville Mineral Point on Thursday night as well. Richland Center softball will play Platteville on Thursday night, while Richland Center baseball will take on Platteville as well. For Ithaca, involved in the Ithaca Weston team will be involved in the Ridge and Valley Conference track meet at North Crawford, and then the Ithaca softball team will schedule to play Dodgeville coming up on Thursday night. Weston will be in action in baseball Thursday night in a game basically for the conference championship. DeSoto will come to Cazenovia on Thursday night, while the Weston softball teams will be opening up WIAA tournament play against Lafarge. Riverdale baseball tomorrow taking on Darlington, and also there will be action coming up on Friday. Riverdale stays busy with a doubleheader Friday, hosting Lafarge at 4:30 and Seneca at 6:30. For River Valley, they will have baseball action against Lancaster coming up on Thursday. A few events that have been moved. Prairie du Chien will be taking on River Valley in soccer at Prairie du Chien, happening this coming Thursday. And the River Valley softball team will open up WIAA regional play at Westby, a 5 o'clock game on Thursday. River Valley baseball stays busy with a doubleheader at Mauston Sports Complex against Appledon West on Saturday morning. Richland Center Church League softball will try again next week to get the 2025 season underway. Rain washed out games last night. Those will be made up on July 29th. So if you're a Church League team, follow the May 27th regular schedule for games coming up next week. Note that 2025 rules and the season schedule are posted online. For information, you can check out Church League's softball website. That's RC Church League. League.com. A cornhole league is being planned for the area this year. Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock starting in the month of June. They plan to play at Buena Vista Bicentennial Park in Gotham. And there is a meeting tonight for the league starting at 6:30 at the park for anyone interested in learning more. To sign up or find out more information, you can call Mickey Randall at 696-9643 or text, or you could also call Jake Kleckner at 608-739-2322. They plan to have concessions available those nights, serving up great food and other beverages. Certainly, the Buena Vista Bicentennial Park looks forward to seeing you Wednesday nights at 7, starting in the month of June. And again, the organizational meeting is planned for tonight. Rookie right-hander Logan Henderson became the first-ever Brewer pitcher to earn three wins in his first three appearances. Henderson pitched five scoreless innings yesterday in Milwaukee's 5-2 victory over the Orioles. Home runs by Bryce Terang and Sal Frelick put the Brewers on top. Then two runs in the eighth gave the team some breathing room. One run came in on a long ball by Reese Hoskins. Abner Uribe struck out the side to claim his first save. Manager Pat Murphy talked about the offense.
We had some other opportunities to score, but we kind of kept after it. They seem like they're gaining a little bit in confidence, and that was, you know, the three homers like we talk about, Terang and Hoskins and Sal. I mean, some really good performances. Sal on base three times, and yeah, it was good performance.
The two teams will wrap up the series today. That's a 12:10 start time, first pitch time on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. Other baseball scores last night: Boston 2-0 over the Mets, Toronto 3, San Diego 0, Detroit 5, St. Louis 4, San Francisco 3-2 over Kansas City. Cleveland at Minnesota postponed. The Yankees were 5-2 winners against Texas, Tampa Bay 3, Houston 2, the White Sox 1-0 over Seattle, the Angels 7, Athletics 5. In the National League, Pittsburgh 1-0 over Cincinnati, Washington 5, Atlanta 3. The Cubs beat Miami 14-1. Philadelphia 7, Colorado 4, the Dodgers 4, Arizona 3. And if he has to trade superstar Giannis Antetokounmpo, general manager John Horst will demand a big return. TheAthletic.com predicts Horst is going to go for blood in any deal. The player and the team will discuss the future at a meeting this week. NBA analysts suggest Horst will ask for so much in return that the other team would be gutted and not competitive. That might lead Giannis to decide it's better to stay in Milwaukee. Packers general manager Brian Gutekunst is no fan of NFL players competing in the Olympics. Flag football will be included as an event in the 2028 games. The NFL appears to be preparing to open the door for participation by its players. Gutekunst tells ESPN he thinks flag football in the Olympics is a great idea, but he hopes the professional players are left on the sidelines. The league owners will vote this week on whether players can take part. You're listening to Pat Kreitlow Mornings on WRCE, FM 107.7 and AM 1450. I am Phil Nee.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, Mike Dubusky. They're still at it. The House Rules Committee meeting for more than 8 hours today, gaveling in at around 1 o'clock this morning, debating whether to further the GOP tax plan. It all comes as we're also learning Jerry Connolly has died of cancer. The 75-year-old Democrat recently stepped down from the top Democratic role on the House Oversight Committee. The House chamber holding a moment of silence after learning of his passing.
Oh, no. To stop and say a prayer for his family.
It also changes the math in Congress somewhat. Republicans now hold a 220 to 212 edge over Democrats, making a majority 217. That means Speaker Mike Johnson can afford just 3 nay votes when passing legislation. More than 65,000 people from Missouri to Georgia are without power today after severe storms. This is ABC News.